No.
You're going to be on the floor? We can't see you as it is.
You want me to go up there?
Oh,
okay. I had some water here. Someone moved my water. I need, I had a bottle of water. Oh, okay. Thank you. Right. Well, I learned something that was truly unique today, and that was my ear is smaller than I thought, because this will not stay on my ear. So I always thought my ears were big. I guess that's a new thing. So, you know, now I can go away and say I have small ears. I am grateful for who Christ is, and I'm grateful for Prague, and I'm grateful for Pastor Lanny and Sister Lanny, and I'm just grateful for Christ. I want to say that something wonderful that has happened in my life was having the opportunity to come here as the director of Riversong. One reason why I was standing down there, I thought I'd start off this way so you could laugh, is that somehow I pictured this being taller than it really was, and I wasn't going to give everybody the opportunity to laugh. So I thought, I'll just stay down there in case it's right here. And then everyone doesn't have to say, we can't see you. So everywhere I go, that's one of the jokes, how tall I am. And so I tell people that I usually don't recognize I'm short until they tell me. I want to say first that I am so grateful for my family being here, Joy and Alicia, who drove from Williamsburg to be with me. I have been so fortunate. They are my son's godparents, and I'm his godsister, and I have been adopted in the family a long time ago, and the children have grown up calling me Aunt Robin, and I have just had a blessing with them, and I'm very grateful, and grateful for my sister coming out, and for the miracles that God has given her this year. I'm very grateful. I want to speak to you a little bit beforehand about time. The thing that was on my heart today was time. And we are living in a society where everything is in this great, great rush. I started out the morning service talking about when you have a small child and you're trying to get out of the house on time. And I'm very organized. I try to lay out shoes, socks, everything that he could possibly need, because I have this whole thing about time. I like to be on time. So I lay everything out. We get right to the door. It's time to walk out the door. And my son says, Mom. And I said, what? I forgot something. So then he runs back in the room, and he is in the room, and he just makes a real muck of the room, throwing things in the air and everything. And then he comes out, and whatever it is, believe me, it's pretty insignificant. Sometimes it's just a game. Sometimes, but the room looks like a disaster area. And he goes, I'm ready. And we get to the door. Well, by that time, I'm rushing. And so I'm saying, okay, we got to get out of here. We got to go. We got to go. And I get to the door, and he goes, Mom, because I'm opening the door. He goes, you forgot to pray. We always pray, Mom, when we get to the door. And I said, but. And he says, but, Mom, we need to pray. And you see, my time clock is ticking then, and everything's going, I got to hurry, I got to hurry, I got to hurry. And he reminds me of the fact that we need to stop and acknowledge that we are going out of our door and that we need to talk to the Lord before we walk out and get our covering and walk in the safety of the Lord. And I pray for him. Pray that God is with him throughout the day. Pray that God directs his path, establishes going, that the Lord talks to him. And believe me, I think every teacher on staff at the school is very grateful that I pray for him. Because my son is wonderful, but he can really make your day. And so I love when you go to the meetings and the teacher says, oh, is this your son? And they smile. And I say, yes, this is my son. I always claim him. I want you to know that. I do claim him because I really love him, and I couldn't make it without him. And I didn't say this in the other service, but my son is a gift to me. And I wanted for 17 years to have a child. And everything in me desired a child. I've always loved children. I have had a heartbeat after children for many years. And for 17 years, I wanted a child. And I just kept praying, Lord God, please give me a child. Please give me a child. And we were in this area, and we were youth pastors at the Fort Washington Church, National Church of God. And the pastor came in, and he said, he was away at the General Assembly, and he said, I don't know why you don't have a baby. He says, but while we were at the General Assembly, there was a word that came out from the Church of God Children's Home that said that there was a young mother there that was having a baby. And if you can be in Ohio tonight, they will interview the parents. We left church right away, packed up everything that we could pack up. We didn't know how long we were going to have to stay. We got in Ohio, and when I walked in the room, after she had interviewed several people, when I walked in the room, she said, that's my baby's mother. And there I followed. I stayed in Ohio. I followed her for the 6 weeks and for the rest of the time that she was there to have the baby. I talked with him every morning while he was in the womb. And when he was born, I was talking, and he turned his head to look at me. He has been such a joy. And he is absolutely my heartbeat. And I'm so grateful to God that I am a mother. I almost missed it. In our society, everything has a moment. I managed a clothing store. Joy remembers me running in and out of Lane Bryant's. And I was there. And one of the things that happened there is I learned something about how they rush seasons. In September, they put out the fall colors, and they start talking about vacationing spots because they're trying to get you ready for Christmas. In October, they talk about Halloween a lot and Thanksgiving briefly. And they put out all kinds of plates and pots and pans encouraging you in all the stores to shop. They put out in Lane Bryant stores all types of gaudy sweaters that have holiday things on it that most people won't wear. And in November, then they say, time to put up the Christmas lights. I experienced the boss coming and saying, I need your Christmas lights up. Why aren't your Christmas lights up? And I was thinking, because it's November, and we should find a pilgrim and stick him outside the front door. But they weren't excited about that. They wanted the Christmas lights up. So we had all this stuff up. And then December comes, and it's New Year's. Everything in our life is about time. We have all kinds of wonderful gadgets to remind us about how to celebrate and who to call for birthdays, anniversaries, and we even have things that tell us don't forget to say goodbye to the kids as they're walking out the door. And each one of these gadgets are advertised as something that will give us more what? Time. Time is of the essence. No time to waste. Time is spent. Time is money. I'm late. I'm late for a very important date. I've been told this all my life. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Time is moving. Time is moving. And all you find yourself doing, you feel like you're on a giant treadmill and you're always moving. Some of us, never mind. Anyway, everything is quick, fast, and in a hurry. You can cook an entire meal in 10 to 15 minutes. Rachel Ray. If you didn't know that, my aunt loves her book. And, you know, and she swears by her book. And she asked me, did you get one yet? Well, unfortunately, I could probably get it, but I still slave a little longer than that over the stove. Rushing has become a lifestyle. I have clocks that are set up that you can't see very well. And one big clock that's up here. Just because I want you to understand that all of the gadgets, the iPhone, the Palm Pilot, the BlackBerry, all designed, Outlook, Internet, email, all designed to give you more time. And yet, we still don't meet all of our deadlines. And I do understand deadlines. I understand that we need these things. For just a moment, a brief moment, I want you to take time to just close your eyes And I say close your eyes because I'm kind of visual because I work with children. And one of the things that I recognize is that the more people see, which is why I have enjoyed Pastor Lanny's sermons, because I really could get lost on you because I'm like a child. I kind of wander. But because he always has something to show me, I stay focused. And see, hey, but I stay focused. And so I put all of this here, the clocks had them put here, for you to recognize that every now and then, in the midst of the rush, you need to take time to look back. It's 2008. We're still here. It's the last Sunday. And for just a moment, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to thank God for how good he has been. He has brought us from a long way. This year has been trying. I can look all the way back to when I was homeless. I can look back to when I was being abused. I can look back to when I didn't have the things that I need. I know what it is to be hungry. I can look back. I can look back and see when I wondered, was there anybody that really loved me? I can look back. But today I can look ahead because I see how much Christ really does love me. I can look back to, for many years I carried the pain. But yet I was walking in a victory that I didn't know that Christ really had much more. And this year, in the last month, God has given me so much through a group of women that were willing to dedicate their time for me. And I'm telling you, God has done a tremendous work and is still doing a work in me. That work is where he's healing some of the things that I longed for, a home, a family, someone that would always be there when I came home from school. My son knows that, but I never knew that. I'm glad that I am not going to a car today for home. I'm glad that I have a building to walk into. 2008 has brought me so many wonderful things, even in the midst of every trial. So for a moment, I just want you to whisper under your breath, God, I thank you. I just thank you. Lord, I thank you for 2008. I thank you, Lord, that sometimes we spend so much time complaining, but my God, you have brought us from a mighty, mighty, mighty long way. And my soul says thank you. My innermost being says thank you. You are a great God and a righteous King. And I thank you. I thank you, Lord. When I look back and reflect from where he's brought us, even in the midst of the building project, there are days that it seems, kind of haywire. But yet, it's about to be finished. So he's brought us from a mighty long way. Now, just for a moment, as you reflected over 2008, for just a moment, I want you to reflect over how many times in 2008 you just crawled into your Savior's lap and you just laid in his presence. You spent time with him. Today is not about guilt. I'm not here to give guilt. I'm here to help you see and to take a challenge that in 2009, that in the midst of all the wonderful gadgets, that you would take time to pencil God in. That you would put him on your BlackBerry. You would put him in your Palm Pilot. That you would put him on Outlook. That you would paste him on the refrigerator as we do when we got to remember something. Whatever it takes. You will spend more time with God in 2009 than you have spent in 2008. An old song that stays with me, and when I start rushing, this song comes back to me. It was written by Larnell Harris, and he wrote this song many years ago. It says, I miss my time with you, these moments together. I need to be with you each day. And it hurts me when you say, I'm too busy. Busy trying to serve you. But he says, how can you serve me when your spirit is empty? There's a longing in my heart. And this is what Jesus is saying. There's a longing in my heart for wanting more than just a part of you. It's true. I miss my time with you. That's what the Savior is saying when we start getting too busy in our schedules to commune with him, to meet with him. When time is ticking and we convince ourselves that we have time to go shopping but not time to spend with the Lord. We have time to go buy a meal but not time to commune with the Lord. We have time to do many things, sit at a baseball game, watch a football game, all wonderful things. I'm not criticizing those things. I'm saying, but we have time for those things and we don't have time for the Lord. Now, this should be our answer to I miss my time with you. Lord, I need you. Here is my heart. I give it, Lord, to you. Here is my life. I lay it before you. Where else could I go? And what else could I do? If I did not know you, what can I do? How deeply I love you. How deeply I love you. Like a desert needs the rain, I need you. Like an ocean needs the stream, I need you. I need you like the morning needs the sun, I need you. Lord, you are my only one. Many started out in 2008 saying that, but 2009 is coming. And in the middle of 2008, there was a disarray, something that happened, and everything was just thrown. It's so easy for our schedules to get thrown. Man, I can tell you, I can start out my day, and in the middle of the day, it's like a bomb explodes. And then the whole schedule is gone, just thrown out the window. One little thing. In Genesis chapter 35, if you would turn there, and it will be on the screen, so I'm going to go ahead and read. Verses 1 and 3, 1 through 3. And the Bible says this, And God said to Jacob, arise and go to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar to God who appears to you in a distinct manifestation. When you fled from the presence of Esau, your brother, then Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the images, strange gods that are among you, and purify yourself and change into flesh garments. Then let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar to God who answers me in the day of my distress and was with me wherever I went. This is a neat story, true, but very neat, about Jacob. Jacob had been in the presence of the Lord. He had gone down to Bethel, and there was a visitation there. God had always visited him there. And God made a promise to him. He said, I'll go where you go, I'll be with you, and I will not leave you. As Jacob went away, God gave him specific instructions, and he did not do everything that God told him to do because he began to wonder. He pitched his tent in the wrong place. How many of you have ever pitched your tent in the wrong place? I have. I've pitched my tent in the wrong place. And he put his tent right there at Shechem. And because he did that, there was a problem. His family began to lean towards some of the things that were going on in that area. When we wander away from God, or when we take long periods that we are not communicating with God, and when we are not getting in his presence, we start taking on some of the things of the world. Even sayings, even things that we don't realize we're now saying out of our mouths. We're saying things that the world says, oh, well, I'll get in the presence of the Lord later. I'll do it later. A week has gone by and you still have missed every appointment with God. Oh, well, God knows. He cares, but he knows how it is. I could quote a verse to him. He understands that I can't get there. And we pick up customs and idols, and we're no longer where we should be. Well, Jacob, because God told him not to go there, here's what happened. His daughter was defiled and raped. His sons murdered. His sons murdered people. They weren't murdered. His sons murdered the sons, and he murdered the sons of Shechem, and he also murdered the one that raped his sister. And then on top of that, they had all of these idols. They had taken their jewelry and burned their jewelry and melted their jewelry down, and they had idols. And God had to call him back. And in chapter 28, he says to him, come back home. Go back. But before you go, I want you to burn all of your idols. I want you to get rid of your idols. Your idols are not coming with you. Sometimes the Lord is saying to us, there is a Bethel in all of our lives that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm telling you there's a Bethel here today, a place where the Spirit of the Lord is lingering. And he's saying, come back. I want you. I need you. I'm telling you there are arms that are wide open and they are coming from heaven. And he's saying, I need you. I want you. And so he gets there, and God says, before you go into Bethel, bury all the idols. Get rid of them. There has to be a cleansing process in our lives where we recognize that, Lord, I've just blown it. I can't tell you. I'm so glad for his mercies, because there have been times that I've had to go in the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, I'm just not all I should be. And I'm asking you to change my heart's desires, because they are not always after you. And Father, wash me and make me clean and create within me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Father, use your cleansing compound and dig out the gook and leave you, because I have wandered away, Father. And I've had to come back and ask God to do the work that he started. Jacob did that. They did come back. And they got in the presence of the Lord. Aren't you glad that there is a place that God will meet us? You know what? We are just too busy. Things frustrate us. We deal with anger on a daily basis. And you say things and react in certain ways. And we just go through all kinds of things. And we say, oh, God, I wish I didn't behave this way. I wish I... Anybody else do that besides me? Okay, and so you sit and you say, oh, God, you come back. And I usually don't come back with my head up. I come back with my head down. And I feel like a child, and I say, Lord, would you do a new thing in me? Would you forgive me, Lord, because I have forgotten. And it's so easy to forget. I heard on the radio where a gentleman said, it's not easy to forget. I said, well, Lord, get me to that place, because occasionally I forget how good God has been. I forget. And it's only because I want to do at that point what I'm looking to do. And it's a will thing. And I want to do it my way. And then whenever it's all broken down, dilapidated, pain, then I crawl back into the presence of the Lord. And I say, Lord, I'm sorry. I have less of those days today and for the last several years, because I recognize what has happened when I do it my way. There was an interesting story on television recently. And this just tells you about our time. They said that romance movies are not good for you. Come on, ladies, let's sigh. Anyway, they said that romance movies are not good for you. Now listen to the reason that they gave. They said because no one, it's not realistic, no one has the time to work out a relationship. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad that the reason why is because no one has the time to work out a relationship? We do not build relationships today. We meet people, and if they can't keep up with the pace, we have no time for establishing relationships. I am grateful to God for the relationships that I've been able to establish. I will take time to be a friend. And I'm glad that, and the reason why is because God has put so many people in my life that are willing to take time to be a friend. I said that because David recognized that in this world that he lives in the world he lived in Psalms 91, he said, "He who dwells in a secret place of the Most High, dwells, he that can stay there, can get in the presence of God, long for the presence of God, shall remain stable and fixed under the shadows of the Almighty." Why did I stop wandering all over the place, getting in trouble and doing it my way? Because I became stable and fixed. Once I got in the presence of the Lord, I recognized that I just didn't want to do it that way. I didn't want to go through the school of hard knocks. My dad used to say, you have two choices, the school of hard knocks, or you can watch someone and learn. After going through a few bruises, I decided I'm going to watch you and learn. And I'm just not going to go through it because I just want to do it Christ's way because I have fought against it. I thought that because I had grown up at different times in my life without anybody, that I had to recognize that I was stronger than God and that I didn't really need him either. I didn't need him to tell me what to do, but I now realize I need him every breath I take. I can't make it without him. And so that type of leadership has brought me to a place today that I recognize I really need him. And it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. That's King James. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, a place I can run to, my fortress, a stronghold, protected from the enemy. My God, in him will I trust. See what we're missing? In him will I lean and rely. And in him I confidently trust. When we are away from God, we're missing this. We're missing that secret place, that pavilion where he will talk with us, where he will commune with us. We're missing it when we do it our way. In Psalms 42, he speaks clearly to us. And you know, when God compares something on the earth to something in heaven, I look it up because I really don't quite understand some of the things. So I said, let me look this up. So a long time ago, back when my sister and I were in a church together, I looked up the deer. I did a study on the deer because in Psalms 42 and 1, it says, as the hart, the deer, pants and longs for the water brook, so I pant and long for you, O God. I learned some interesting things about a deer. First off, 3 to 4 quarts of water a day, twice a day, the deer drinks. Also, the deer has 2 stomachs. So when the water goes in, it can go into another area. And the deer has the ability, just like food, to save the food and to store it. But the deer will save the food but will not save the water. And here's the reason why. Because the deer patterns their whole life. You can go up and the deer will pattern their whole life after a water brook. After water. The deer goes, and the whole path in which the deer takes, because of his sense of smell, he could find the water. I was thinking of our lives, and it tells us here to yearn, to hunger, to thirst, to know our need as the deer, to pant. Take short breaths. Oh, I cannot wait to get in the presence of the Lord. Oh, I just miss you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. Oh, I can't make it without you, Lord. Oh, I don't know, Lord, what I would do tomorrow if you were to leave me. God, I miss you. To pant. To pant. I recognize that we think that that's a little bit corny in our world to want something so bad. But have you ever wanted anything so badly that you said, move over because here I come? I have. Here, move over because here I come. Well, that's the way I see the Lord today. Move over because here I come. It says in the second verse, my inner self thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? Isn't that what it's all about? You know what? It really is all about the day that we can see Him face to face. And we can see Him right now in our prayers, in our time with Him. We can see Him. We can behold His beauty. We can look into His face. But one day we are going to see Him. We're going to be with Him, live with Him for eternity. For I go to prepare a place for you. And where He is, He said He was going to come again and receive us. And so when you get heavy laden and you feel like you can't make it, just recognize He's prepared a place for you. So come running to the presence of the Lord. God, I can't wait to get there. In Jeremiah 29 and 11 through 14, one of my favorite verses, it says, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you." Isn't it wonderful to know that somebody has thoughts and plans for you? That just blows my mind. Because once I was told, well, we're moving, but you're not. We're not taking you with us. And now, today, there is this master plan for me. There is someone that has sat and planned, and they have thoughts for me. And they have plans for me. And it says, and it's the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. I have hope today because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you have hope because of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us. But some of you know that you have hope because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because some of you, too, were in hopeless situations. And yet, because of the Lord, it's different. The next verse says, and then you will seek me. You see, I guess today I'm almost coming to a close, but the big part of me is that I'm encouraging you in 2009 to seek Him. To really seek Him. We have all kinds of saying, wise men seek Him. I'm saying to you, seek Him. Find out, you know, when I seek you out, then that means I'm going to listen to you. So find out what He wants. Get in His presence and say, God, what do you have for me? What do you want? Where are you sending me? Inquire. Require, what do you inquire of me? What do you require me as a vital necessity? And find me when you search for me with all your heart. Put everything into it. Go to the presence of the Lord. I see some people here today and you're already bowing your head because you're recognizing that He's calling you to come into His presence. We need to have so much more. The wonderful thing about the body of Christ is this. That every one of us brings something different to the table. I need you. We need you in the body of Christ. I appreciate what the pastor said earlier. And I also appreciate the fact that in this body, each of us can bring whatever we possess to the table. And they're saying to us here at Prague, it can be used. You're not just here. You're not just a number. But come to the table because we are going to use the gift freely. We are accepting you in the body and we are going to use you. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Come. And then I love verse 14. And I write scriptures and I put them up on my wall. Verse 14 was on my wall for a long time because it says, I will be found of you. Not like when you call somebody in the dark and they don't come. He said, I'll be found of you and I will release you from your captivity and gather you from all the nations and all the places to which I have driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from which I caused you to be carried away in captivity. I'll bring you home. And you have a home. I'll accept you back in my presence. I will open my arms to you. You walked away, not me. And I'm here and I'm saying, come on home. And I'll love on you. In, excuse me, in Psalms 27, 1 through 4, I want to read these verses. The Lord is my light. Pastor talked about an illumination. Aren't you glad that you're not wandering around in the dark? Has anybody stubbed their toe in the dark? Thank God we don't have to do that. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I used to live in so much fear. Just fear of everything. But whom shall I fear? I don't have to be afraid anymore. Because the Lord is my light. And he's with me. The Lord is my refuge, a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamped against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rises against me, even then, this will I be confident. And this is a key verse. One thing have I asked of the Lord, and this is my desire today, and I will seek after, inquire for, insistently require, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I have no desire to be on the outside of the house of the Lord. I want to be in his presence all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness and delightful lovingness of the Lord, and to meditate, consider, and inquire in his temple. I have just two questions for you. 2009 is coming. In 2008, where did you spend your time? Because you see, where you spent most of your time, that's where your heart is. Whatever we put into, give our everything to, that's where your time is, that's where your heart is. If you haven't invested it in the Lord, it's not too late, because 2008 is not over with yet. But you can also make that commitment for 2009 to spend even more time with him. Don't let your devotion and commitment fall away, because something I need to tell you, your commitment and your lack of devotions, you need to understand something. It affects others. See, time. It affects others. It affects others. Did you know that Jacob's commitment, what was going on in his life, affected his sons, his children? Your life is affecting someone else's life. So come closer. Run quickly. Hurry. Time is of the essence. I invite you to come closer to the Lord. Pencil him in. Put him in your Palm Pilot. Put him in your BlackBerry. Put him on your calendar. Put him in the Outlook. Have a moment with him. Draw closer. It's 2009 coming up, and I endeavor to see Jesus. And I know, because I've been here at the church, that all of you are endeavoring to do the same thing, to see Jesus, to be with him. And it won't stop here. We have so much more to do. Hunger and thirst for the Lord. Here it is. Thank you, Lord. I actually had a bottle that I wanted to show you, because children, look at this. See, it's dripping. Pastor appreciates that, I'm sure. see how it's dripping? Doesn't that look wonderful? Wouldn't you like a drink of this? And when you open it up, it's refreshing. It's good. I want you to know that. It's really good. And this is how it should be when we look at the Lord. We should want to run to him, because everything he's going to give us is going to bring a refreshing to our life. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin. You know, we have the opportunity now to dismiss you and encourage you not to give the Lord another thought until the next time on some future occasion it occurs to you to go to a church service someplace. Mm-hmm. Or.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Robin is speaking things that sound right. Don't they sound right to you?
Amen.
And if knowledge did it,
we'd all go do it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, knowledge is the beginning. It is not the thing. We use language to try to communicate concepts that are designed to create encounters. For instance, with my lips I say, thy will be done. With my feet I say, my will be done. Now, you smile, you nod your heads because you recognize that. And what that represents is a lack of integrity. And by that I mean this. You're still two people. The one who agrees and the one who goes differently than the very thing you say you agree with. Now, I'm not being mean in saying this. I'm pointing out this is our humanity at work. And so your ability to rule that thing is already an accomplished failure. Hey, just three more days. We get to make our New Year's resolutions. How long do you think they'll last this year? Okay, that's an example of the failure of self-mastery. And to substitute discipline for the activity of the Holy Spirit is a guaranteed failure. Okay? I will continue to say, with my words, thy will be done. But with my feet, my will be done. Until something occurs. Now, we try to be clever with our speech. So let's see if this communicates. I am a physical being having a spiritual experience. Let's think born again. Is that a good description of it? Okay, it's a physical being having a spiritual experience. However, once you become a spiritual being, you are now having a physical experience. And if we don't make the adjustment in our understanding, we continue to be a physical being looking for the next spiritual experience. And so Robin gives us a teaching and we come to the altar to try to have another spiritual experience as a physical being. Those days are over if you've come to Christ. Your physical being is not going to go with you, but the rest of you will. The spiritual part. It's a major adjustment in our thinking. Now, Robin is posing a very important premise. You need to decide to re-engage the life of the Spirit that is now yours. Frank Lloyd Wright was a famous architect, builder. Before many of you were born, there was a devastating earthquake in Japan. And it leveled huge areas. I mean, the stuff you can get on the internet and Google, just destruction everywhere you looked except for his building. It stood in the midst of that chaos as the only unshakable thing. Before the earthquake, you just had buildings. You go here, see a movie, go here, see a play, go there, do politics, go here, do a temple, go there, eat. But when the shaking came, the only thing that stood was the one that had been built correctly from the foundation up. I'd like to submit to you that there's some shaking coming. And it's time to revisit your spiritual foundations. They're simple things. You do the acts that connect you with His grace, and then you invite the one thing we resist most vehemently. You invite Him to drag you through the knot hole backwards for the sake of inner transformation. Robin is not asking you to add something to your busy life. She's asking you to become a different kind of life. I believe this is the activity of God for 2009 in this congregation. And if you're going to be around here, you're going to hear more of this. And if you hear it, I have every expectation you're going to feel it. Some of you have already acknowledged to me this sense of desperation for personal internal change. I think you're hearing from the Lord. And it's my intention to work with him in that direction on our behalf in the coming year. And I'm grateful for Robin. Her unsolicited, got in touch with God, brought it to us. I hear last week's message echoed in it, and I hear the voice of the Spirit about the coming year in it. So let me ask you to consider one thing. Each of you are in a different place in your spiritual journey. But all spiritual journeys have common things. At some point, you make a decision. Whatever that decision is going to be. Some of you say, this is just too hard. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm through with Jesus. How many of you made that decision already? Yeah, me too, many times. It's not a trick question. If you haven't quit on Christ, you haven't been serving him long enough. So that one's not going to work. Or you decide, I'm just going to camp. I like where I am. Life is okay. Things are comfortable. God and I talk from time to time. If I get in a jam, he bails me out, and I tip him on Sundays. When the shaking comes, that building's going to fall. Others of you might be feeling the press of the Lord for this change. You feel it in your soul. You don't know how to articulate it. You're unsatisfied with yourself. You've begun to hear you speak. You've noticed your attitudes, and you think, am I ever going to change? The answer is no, you're not. But can I be changed? The answer is yes, you can. And that change is called transformation. And I'm telling you, it is painful. If you've had any of it to date, you know it's painful. And the only reason you embrace it again is because you appreciate what the pain produces. I'm going to ask you today to make one decision. I want you to decide what that one thing is you're willing to let the Lord touch. Just the one thing. I know you've got dozens. I just want one victory. That one thing that you know he is after. And all I want you to do with fear and trepidation is say, Lord, I give you permission to come after it and do whatever is necessary to change that in me. Okay? In other words, Toro! It's the bullfighter's challenge. Come get me. Okay, look, if you could change you, you would. You can't, he can. Put him to the test. Or not. But some of us will.